This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour open-line talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. To express your viewpoint, please call 804-754-1988. That's 804-754-1988. And now, with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
The word pander does not appear in the Bible, but that's exactly what you might hear tonight on the Debate for Destiny, the Politics of Deception. And we're going to talk about that here today on Viewpoint, and I'm glad that you've joined us. It's conversation with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transforms, and today is no exception. In fact, there's going to be some talk that transforms this evening. At 9 o'clock Eastern Time, Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump and Democrat Vice President Kamala Harris will meet in their first and only planned debate tonight, a clash that could prove pivotal in their pitched battle for the White House. The ABC News-hosted debate at 9 o'clock Eastern takes place just 8 weeks before the November 5th election, with both candidates locked in a tight race. Early voting is going to start sometime just in the next few days. The encounter is particularly important for Harris, with opinion polls showing that more than a quarter of likely voters feel they do not yet know enough about her, in contrast to the well-known or seemingly well-known Mr. Trump. Presidential debates do not always move the needle, as we know, but they can transform the dynamics of a race. Just look at what happened in July or June when President Joe Biden's faltering performance against Trump was so damaging that it eventually led him to abandon his campaign, ushering Kamala Harris into his position. In a contest that could come again down to tens of thousands of votes in just a handful of states, even a small shift in public opinion could alter the outcome. Hence, the debate for destiny. The two candidates are effectively tied in the seven battleground states that likely will decide the election, according to polling averages compiled by none other than the New York Times. It's going to be 90 minutes. Take place at the National Constitution Center in Philadelphia. As agreed by the campaigns, there will be no live audience, and microphones are going to be muted when it is not the candidate's turn to speak. Why is that? Well, quite frankly, it's going to prevent Kamala Harris from doing what Democrat people appearing on news shows and so on always do, and that is over-talk, so that you cannot hear or discern what the other side is saying. That will be prevented through this particular form of debate, and I think that probably is a wise thing. Neither party could over-talk the other. Each party must speak, respond to the other, and there will be no interference. A Harris campaign official said the vice president is expected to hammer Trump on abortion. Why? Well, because abortion has become the number one issue for the Democrat Party since 2022, and they have decided it's really the only issue that they can debate on, because it seems that in general, Trump holds the cards on almost all the other issues. Therefore, we see that in the last week or so, Kamala Harris has changed her position, or ostensibly changed her position in words, on so many of the issues that historically she has remained adamant on, like being against fracking, among others. Abortion has been a top issue for the Democrat Party since 2022, in fact, longer than that. But for his part, Mr. Trump will try to tie Harris to the Biden administration's immigration policy, and rightly so, because Kamala Harris was designated by Mr. Biden as the one who was supposed to be in charge of the immigration program on behalf of the Biden administration. He's also going to likely blame Kamala Harris for high consumer prices that have prompted many Americans to feel pessimistic about the economy, despite strong job and wage growth, by the way, which is resulting in a plethora of bankruptcies by major corporations across the country, the latest of which is Big Lots. Trump is expected to highlight Harris's past support, since disavowed now, for left-wing stances such as banning fracking, portraying her either as a flip-flopper or an extreme liberal in disguise. That's another way of saying the politics of deception. Telling people what they want to hear. The Bible talks about that kind of thing. Remember, it says that one of the characteristics of the end times will be leaders, spiritual leaders, telling people what they want to hear. The phrase that's used has become common is itching ears. We'll pander to their itching ears, telling them what they want to hear or what the people think they want to hear. That has become somewhat normative throughout the broader Christian community for the past 30, 40 years now, and it's led to all kinds of problems in our country. But what if the same thing happens, you see, politically? Well, in politics, we're almost accustomed to hear people deceive. We just kind of expect it. It's kind of just par for the course, so to speak. But is it possible for us to discern the difference between truth and untruth when one is just pandering as opposed to one when one is primarily trying to deal with principles? You see, pandering never deals with principles. Pandering always is determined by what do I think the people want to hear? What will most likely give me the edge in an election? So that's what we're going to take a look at here today on Viewpoint. We actually have some comments coming from strange and unlikely sources that we'll share with you here on the program today. So tonight, the debate for destiny, the politics of deception. And of course, Jesus talked about deception. You remember there in Matthew 24, talking about the end of the age, what was going to be most characteristic of the end of the age? And he told his disciples, take heed that no man deceive you. Well, I suppose man includes women. He was talking about human beings. Take heed that no human being deceives you. And so primarily he was talking about spiritual things, but how about other areas of life that are important? If we cannot trust what people say, then there's no cohesiveness to a community, to a family, to a church, to a nation, and even the world. If you cannot trust what people say, if you cannot trust what the leaders of government say, then the whole thing breaks apart. No matter how much you might cry for unity. Unity, unity, this our cry. U-N-I-T-Y. Sounds like a cheerleader's stance. But the reality is you cannot have unity, not real unity, without the truth. And Jesus actually spoke to that in his high priestly prayer in John chapter 17. It's something that a lot of people just don't talk about, but they should. Because in reality, Jesus said, yes, I want you to be in unity, like I and the Father in unity, but it's only going to happen if you're unified around the truth. It's the truth that will make you free. We'll be right back.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination. So what happened in just one generation? Hi, I'm Chuck Crismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
You remember the words of Pontius Pilate when Jesus said, I came to bear witness to the truth. And Pontius Pilate, that crusty Roman governor, responded sarcastically, asking the question, what is truth? Or what is truth? Well, that same question is going to echo, should echo through your minds and hearts, all of our minds and hearts across America tonight and around the world as people listen to this debate, the debate for destiny, the destiny of America, the destiny in so many different areas of the world. We do not know. You do not know what the consequences will be for the upcoming election. And decisions have consequences. Votes have consequences. And it's not just about feelings, friends. If you vote according to feelings, you're going to be deceived. Because feelings are fickle, very fickle, indeed, as you well know. Yet we know that, on the contrary, as human beings, we're prone to make decisions according to feelings. So feelings become a dictator to us instead of the rational mind and a purely unburdened heart. So this is a big issue for us. How are we going to filter what we hear? Through what filter are we going to decide what is true and what is not? Are we going to base it upon what we want to hear, even though a record shows something very different? Does a person's record over years and their statements over years override what they're currently saying during a campaign in order to try to convince people to vote for them because they know that the things, the stances that they've had in the past were not very well received? This is a test. This is not just a test for the candidates. This is a test for we the people. In fact, it's the greater test for we the people. Are we truly a discerning people or not? On what basis do we vote? When the lordship of our decisions, and even in our churches for the past 30, 40 years and even more, has been the predominance of our feelings rather than facts or truth, then what should we expect? Do we even have the ability as Americans today, even Christian Americans, do we even have the ability or the will to decide based upon reality, facts, truth, historical practices, and so on? These are the things that we should be looking for and identifying. According to Kamala Harris, Mr. Trump won't be burdened by truth at the debate, she said. There's no floor for him in terms of how low he will go, she said. We should be prepared for the fact that he is not burdened by telling the truth. Well, many looking on and hearing what Kamala Harris has been saying just in recent weeks, completely overturning all the things that she said she believed in to conform more to what Mr. Trump has been saying in terms of principle, who's telling the truth? Who's the one that really is not telling the truth? You see, here's what happens. You know the kettle calling the pot black? We know that phrase. Most of us know that phrase historically, the kettle calling the pot black. But in the psychological terms, we call it projection. Somebody is going to impose and try to convince others that what you actually are doing is what the other person is doing to take the focus off of your deception and try to impose it on somebody else. Is that what Kamala Harris is doing when she says that there's no floor in terms of how low he will go, that he's not being burdened by telling the truth? So she, Harris, according to this report, will bring a message of unity to the debate stage. Unity on what basis? A call for unity? That's what Mr. Biden did, and then immediately after his inaugural address, did just the opposite. Became as divisive as Mr. Obama had become, not unifying, but divisive. She said it's time to turn the page on the divisiveness. Well, I would agree with that. Who wouldn't want to get rid of divisiveness? But what is it that divides? Truth divides. Jesus said it would divide. It'll even divide families. It'll divide churches. It'll divide nations. It will divide friends. Truth divides by its very nature. You either embrace truth or you don't. There's no in between. There's no in between. For instance, if somebody claims that there is a great performance of new jobs that have been created, that's been the claim. In fact, I heard President Biden, I heard him make a strong statement on the campaign trail that his administration had created more new jobs than any other administration in United States history. Is that true? Not really. Because in reality, what he didn't tell you is that the jobs that were created were not new jobs. They were replacement of the jobs that he was responsible for losing as a result of COVID and his dictates concerning COVID. You see, we have to understand the fullness of what is transpiring and why people say what they do. So what was the net result of that? Well, according to the World Tribune today, the so-called job replacement ended up with 1.3 million native-born Americans losing jobs under the Biden-Harris administration in just August alone. 1.3 million native-born Americans lost their jobs under Biden-Harris in August alone. So where were all these jobs? Where did they go? They went to illegals. They went to immigrants. They did not go to native-born Americans. They did not go primarily to American citizens. They went to others. Is that something to be celebrated? That's for you to decide. But that's the truth. In other words, there were no net jobs created during the Biden administration over what existed before COVID. No net jobs, as far as I can understand from the facts. Does that make a difference to you? So when you hear claims that are made, perhaps tonight, concerning jobs and so on, maybe that will help to filter out truth from untruth. Not burdened by truth. Is truth a burden? Well, it is in a sense. Jesus said, if you'll continue in my word, you will know the truth and the truth will make you free. But people don't want to continue in his word. Why don't they want to continue in his word? Because they don't like what he said. So if Jesus said, which he did, whoever divorces their spouse causes him to commit adultery, and whoever marries the one so divorced commits adultery, how many people are celebrating that? Because it's true. Jesus said it. Oh, but you know what? I don't like that too much. But my pastor said this, but you see, now you're playing politics. Now you're pandering to your own flesh. That's our problem. Our problem is we're not so much truth lovers as we purport to be. Jesus said, if you will not forgive others their trespasses against you, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. Do you agree with that? Then why is it you won't forgive? Why is it you're holding a grudge? Why is it? You see, because we don't like that truth. But Jesus said, if you'll continue in my word, the truth will make you free. It doesn't say set you free. It means make you free. Oh, but you have to continue in the truth, you see. It's not just embracing some truth among others. It's embracing the whole truth and nothing but the truth. That's how we will be free. In fact, that's how we'll be free as a country, by embracing the truth, not feelings, where somebody can pander to my flesh and sell me a bill of goods with political snake oil. No, I have to discern what's behind what is said. What is the track record? What has somebody said up till now over the past 5-10 years? What have they been saying that, and when Kamala Harris says, I haven't changed my values, what she's really saying, it seems, is I'm changing what I'm telling you in order to win an election, but in reality, I haven't changed anything that I believed according to the statements I've made in the past. Are you listening? Another article says Trump must focus on policy at the debate. In other words, not mudslinging, not name-calling and that kind of thing, and I agree with that. Representative James Comer said that's what will hand him a second White House term. If this election is about policy, we win this election because we've seen for the past 3.5 years what the Biden-Harris agenda looks like and how it adversely affects working-class families. On the other hand, Kamala Harris says, we're going to have an economy that's going to bless working-class families. Okay, so you're going to reject the Biden-Harris economy that you've been selling as Bidenomics and bragging about it now, and all of a sudden, in 2 or 3 weeks, you're going to change your story? You see where the problem is? You can't take somebody at their word when they're pandering politically. You have to look at what they have believed historically. What do they stand for? What have they stood for? Comer also addressed comments Harris campaign officials made in recent days. He said her campaign has no confidence in her. That's why they won't let her do basic interviews, much less a debate. They're going to set the bar very low. They've already written the headlines. Harris did much better than Joe Biden. That's what the headline will be tomorrow in the mainstream media. The event will be moderated by ABC. Well, what is ABC? What should we know about ABC? Maybe that's something that should be of interest to us. What do you think? So we're going to take a look at that here on the program today. What about ABC? Here we are. World Tribune. Today, as debate looms, ABC has a near perfect record, 100% positive about Harris, 93% negative on Trump. There's not even a pretense of objectivity at ABC News when it comes to the 2024 presidential election. So, GOP candidate Donald Trump's team has likely prepared the former president to square off not only with Democrat Kamala Harris, but the moderators for tonight's debate, David Muir and Lindsay Davis. A Media Research Center analyst reviewed all 100 campaign stories that aired on ABC's World News Tonight from the day Harris entered the race July 21st through September 6th and found 25 clearly positive statements about Harris from reporters, anchors, voters, or other nonpartisan sources with zero negative statements about her. None. Well, that computes to a gravity-defying 100% positive spin score for Harris. But as for Trump, the analyst found just 5 clearly positive comments and 66 negative statements, resulting in a 93% negative spin score on ABC for Donald Trump. During these same weeks, both CBS Evening News and NBC Nightly News also delivered highly positive coverage for Harris and mostly negative coverage for Trump. For Trump, coverage was 77% negative on CBS and 86% negative on NBC. So all of the so-called legacy news is already set to politic for Harris. We'll be right back.
There is so much more about Chuck Crismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, on the front page are two great videos. First, an interview and discussion of Chuck's book, Out of Egypt. Also, a great TV interview with Chuck regarding his book, Seduction of the Saints. Much more videos, a For Pastors Only section, and also you can view Chuck's weekly teachings, all at his website, saveus.org. That's saveus.org. Also on Chuck's website, listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast. Listen to the archives. Maybe you missed a program. Check it out at saveus.org. Also, there are some great resources, hospitality information, also information about marriage, divorce, and remarriage, newsletters, articles, prophecy, prayer and revival information, all at saveus.org.
It's the Debate for Destiny tonight at 9 o'clock Eastern Time on ABC. The politics of deception, friends. The pandering rather than principle. That's what we need to be looking for. Who's pandering and who's stating principles? You know, when we talk about presenting policy, we generally believe, or we want to believe, as we listen to somebody tell us their proposed policies, we want to believe that that represents their underlying principles. Because policy that does not represent underlying principle is nothing but political pandering. In other words, we're just telling people what they want to hear in order to get elected. Now, what does that look like? Well, we're going to find out what that looks like from none other than Bernie Sanders, friends. You'll have to stay tuned in the next few minutes in order to hear what Bernie Sanders had about that. Let me tell you, it pierces to the dividing asunder. It really does. But for now, the Trump and Kamala Harris are tied among voters nationally, according to a Pew Research Center's latest results. Trump and Harris each received 49%, with another 2% of respondents saying they would vote for neither candidate or select somebody else. Among those who back Trump, 91%, they're certain they will vote for him, and 8% say there's a chance they could change their mind. Among those who support Harris, 91% are certain they will vote for her, while 9% say they could change. The latest Pew poll found the economy is very important to 81% of the respondents, with health care 65%, Supreme Court 63%, among other important issues. They were followed by foreign policy 62%, immigration 61%, and violent crime 61%. So, Trump and Harris are going to meet tonight for the first and only planned debate, a clash that could prove pivotal in their pitch battle for the White House just 8 weeks before the November 5th election. So when it says that 65% say that health care is the second most important thing to them, what does that mean? Does that mean your health insurance? Does that mean you can go to the doctor and whatever doctor you please and so on? No, it doesn't mean that at all. What it really means is abortion. And that is hidden, deceptively hidden under the name health care. You see how this works? If you call it health care, then who could possibly disapprove of that? If you call it abortion, all of a sudden, you got a truth problem. Mr. Trump responded to this morning, saying that his biggest challenge in debating Vice President Kamala Harris will be, you don't know what to expect because of her shifting policies. So he says she's shifty. Well, indeed, she has been shifty. Everything that she said she believed in the past, she turned on its head in the past 2 weeks and said she doesn't believe it, or at least had her surrogates say she doesn't believe it. And therein lies part of the problem. It's called reasonable deniability. Well, I didn't really say that. That's what my campaign people said. I didn't say that. Have you noticed how, I'm not even sure what the right term would be, how cagey she is when it comes to claiming something as an absolute clarified principle that she stands for? It's always full of obfuscation. Like wind blowing through and you can't get a handle on it. So these specifics have to come from her campaign staff. That's where these things are coming from. So she can say with plausible deniability, well, I didn't say that. I didn't say that I didn't believe in fracking. I didn't say that I was going to allow fracking. Well, sure you did. Your campaign staff said, oh, well, I didn't say that. You see, you get the point. So maybe Mr. Trump is right when he says the biggest problem he has in the debate is you don't know what to expect because of her shifting policies. So if because of that, he says she's not believable. What do you think? Is Mr. Trump believable? Is Kamala Harris believable? Well, the only way you can actually determine believability is by looking at their records and by looking at what they have said over the, say, the past 5 or 10 years. Yes, people can change. They can, and that's recognizable. As Christians, we allow and want people to change to conform to the word, will, and the ways of the Lord, don't we? Of course we do. But for somebody on the eve of a campaign where they're trying to gain the highest office of the land to suddenly change almost all of their positions on critical issues that will determine the election, that are totally contrary to everything else you've been saying and doing for the past 5 to 10 years? Think about it, my friends. Senator Kennedy, down in Louisiana, had a comment. He said, the Harris campaign promise seems to be that she will solve all the problems that Joe Biden and she created in the first place. And with respect, I don't believe her because I've served with her for 7.5 years, Kennedy said. For example, on immigration, the vice president believes in open borders. I mean, she's already said that she wants to make illegal immigration no longer a crime. This is the same vice president that compared our border patrol officers and agents to members of the Ku Klux Klan. I can tell you what she's going to do to secure the border. Zero. Nothing. So they're going to face off in a debate tonight at Philadelphia's National Constitution Center. But here is an interesting factor. Bernie Sanders, the guy who had his honeymoon in Russia. You know where he stands. You know how hyper-liberal he is. And he said yesterday, or on Sunday, on NBC News, that Vice President Kamala Harris isn't, quote, abandoning the progressive values she campaigned on in 2020, but is instead trying to be pragmatic to win this November. Do you know what he's saying? What he's actually saying is she's pandering to the public to try to convince them to elect her so she can go back and do exactly what she's always been promoting that she would do. He said, no, I don't think she's abandoning her ideals. I think she's trying to be pragmatic and doing what she thinks is right in order to win the election. In other words, she's lying to the people in order to try to get elected. That's what he's saying in nicer terms. That's Bernie Sanders. So the article says he spilled the beans on Kamala's election strategy. While Harris has discussed her speech's specific policies she will support if elected this November, her full policy platform hasn't even been released on her campaign website as of Sunday. Why? Doesn't want to be pinned in. She didn't explain in detail why her aides have reversed several of her policy stances and instead had stated her values have not changed. So she's saying, my values have not changed, but they're saying these things, in other words, in order to try to get me elected. So she went on to say, I think the most important and most significant aspect of my policy perspective, this is a quote, I think the most important and most significant aspect of my policy perspective and decisions is that my values have not changed. That's what she said on CNN. In other words, she hasn't changed at all. Whatever she might say about policy is irrelevant. They're just pandering statements. They're not convictions. They're not principles. They're just trying to get elected. So she can go back to carry out what her initial intentions were according to her values. Interesting. Now, all of this is interesting because it's being colored by other agencies, internet systems, so-called social media. We've talked about the legacy broadcasters, but how about the social media? Where does that stand? Maybe we should take a look at where that stands, and we will. In order to understand, friends, and we're going to take this issue way beyond the election, way beyond the debate for destiny, because in reality, the debate for destiny is taking place not in Philadelphia, but in your heart and mine. That's where it really is taking place. And I'm not talking about politics now. I'm talking about much broader than that. Life decisions and destiny. And that's why Jesus warned about deception. He said, take heed that no one deceive you. That's the overarching theme of the end of the age. Where do you stand on that? We'll talk about that when we get back. Stay tuned.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, I'll build my church. Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, behold how they love one another. Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
How many people have been seduced by pastors and parachurch leaders and presidents, politicians, and so on, popes, How many people have been seduced by such people? Almost every day, I receive more and more reports within the church of leaders who have not behaved themselves seemly among the flock, who have lied to their congregations, who have been deceiving their congregations through various kinds of teaching or not teaching. You see, deception is a far more serious issue than just in politics. It's something that we're all facing on steroids in this generation. Always have been, but it's increasing. The deception is increasing. So that's why I wrote the book, Seduction of the Saints, How to Stay Pure in a World of Deception. Because the deception is coming in so many, many different ways, different avenues. It's political is just one small part of it. It's coming in our churches. It's coming through every avenue of life, deception. It's a full court press to deceive and to somehow get you to follow a non-truth Pied Piper to a destiny that you do not want. But you're going to be lured that way and are being lured that way. Our young people are being lured that way. You know that. You're having deals with your children and your grandchildren over these very issues, aren't you? Of course you are, because that's the age we're living in. It's like no other age before us. So I would urge you to consider getting a copy of that book, Seduction of the Saints, How to Stay Pure in a World of Deception. It deals with things way beyond anything you can comprehend right now. But you will comprehend it when you read it. Oh, it'll pierce to the heart. It really will. Because it deals with the heart of issues. It's not political. $18 is the book. It's yours for $15. $15 on our website, saveus.org. Saveus.org. You can give us a call at 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Writing a check at $6 now for postage and handling. I got to get that into my head because of the radical postage increases. Okay, now, let me just indicate to you, if you have a desire, a parent, a father, a mother, grandparents, or whatever, you have a desire to lead your children, your grandchildren, your family in meaningful discussion about things that really matter from God's viewpoint. And you don't quite know how to go about it. You don't know quite how to go about it, but you know it should be done. This book would be tremendous. Seduction of the Saints. You know why? Because it deals with so many issues. You're going to have, as you read through it, lead your family through it, let them read it, get a copy for each one of them, let them highlight things. Might be the best money you ever spent. And it will help you to become the leader and guide for them when otherwise you may not feel like you have the ability to do that. Every chapter is followed by questions that help to seriously help us to grapple with what's been said in the chapter, to apply it. It's not a book primarily about information. It's about transformation. It's about life change. I really can't overestimate it to you. As one person said, it was the most important book they had ever read other than the Bible itself because it was so incredibly applicable and relevant. Okay, that having been said, we go on to take a look at our friends Google. An undercover video proves what many people thought in the first place, but everybody denied it. Google and other tech behemoths long have been thought to be in Kamala Harris's camp, advocating for her and for the leftist ideologies that she adopts and promotes, and imposing an anything but neutral agenda on users. And now we know for sure. Out of the mouth of an insider, a Google company growth strategist is on video explaining Google, here's the quote, Google was essentially promoting through its ads rhetoric that was very pro-Kamala. Appearing in an undercover video released by James O'Keefe, he says Google has been actively coordinating with the leftist campaign of Harris, who was picked by Democrat Party elites to replace the aging and failing Joe Biden. It has been manipulating its search engine advertisements to favor her in the 2024 election, he said. Now, I'm not going to go on in greater depths. We don't have time. But it's admitted from the inside. From the inside. And here's another insider admission. Facebook now blocks a video of the Department of Justice official that slams the Democratic District Attorney Alvin Bragg and the Georgia District Attorney Fannie Willis as a mockery of justice. A secret recording showing a Department of Justice official slamming the New York case brought by Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg against Donald Trump, calling it nonsense and a perversion of justice. And the Georgia case brought by Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis as a mockery of justice. This report was blocked by Facebook. You know Zuckerberg? The hyper-wealthy Zuckerberg that says, oh, no, we're fair. We're not doing any of those kind of things. Liar, 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 pants on fire. Nicholas Biasi, chief spokesman for the Manhattan U.S. Attorney's Office, was secretly recorded slamming Bragg and Willis during a recent conversation with a so-called undercover reporter. Biasi, who said he had known Bragg for 15 years and previously worked with him, described the hush money case against Trump as a perversion of justice. Those are the words he used, perversion of justice, adding that Bragg had pursued the case to make a name for himself and to run for higher office. From the inside, friends, in the legal and in the media. So again, what does this matter of pandering to voters mean? When we're talking about a debate for destiny, we're talking about the future of the United States of America and its influence throughout the world and our ability to protect ourselves against damage, crime, all of the ugly things that can happen both foreign and domestic. Should we not be true discerners of the politics of deception? Are we willing to be so easily deceived to pander, say, to, well, this is an historic moment. We could elect a black woman. We could elect a woman of color. And wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't that be great? Well, yeah, maybe it would be under all facts and circumstances, but maybe not if she can't tell the truth. If she's deceiving, if she's just pandering to you for a vote and then telling you out of the other side of her mouth, but that's not who I am. I haven't changed my values at all. So have you? Have you changed your values in order to do something like that? You see how ridiculous we can be? Now, I have to tell you, just very honestly, during the 2016 campaign for presidency, when the 17 Republicans were stacking up to try to become the Republican representative for president in that election, I supported somebody other than Donald Trump. I did. And why did I do that? Because I thought that the other person had more historical integrity and was more spiritually minded in consideration of my strong spiritual convictions, as well as political convictions. But then when all of those 17 other than Trump were removed from the game, so to speak, at that point, I really had no choice. The only other choice was Hillary Rodham Clinton, who is a confirmed globalist, who was almost principle-less, had no principles, would say whatever she had to say, was all over the world in terms of what she said she believed or didn't. A manipulator. It left no choice. Now you can say that you took the lesser of two evils, or you can say that you took the better of what was offered. I prefer to look at it that way. The better of what was offered, because not one single person on this planet is perfect, including you, including your pastor, including me. We have to make a choice. We have to discern. So, as the CPAC chair, Matt Slapp, said today, he said, I think Kamala Harris is going to stumble in the debate because she is inarticulate about policy and seems to be pandering to voters. The reason she's inarticulate is because she doesn't have principles. If you have principles, you're not going to be inarticulate. You're going to be able to speak them with conviction. But if you don't have principles and you're pandering, you're going to spin off in a whole lot of different ways and seem quite inarticulate. Say whatever you have to do to get through the moment. That doesn't wear well in a debate, said Max Slapp. You were for it before you were against it, or you were against it before you were for it. So what is it? There are many more things that we could talk about here, but we don't have time. And it's not necessary, quite frankly. So, what are you willing to believe? Who are you willing to believe, and on what basis? What causes you to accept one representation over another? How do you balance out what various people, what two separate people say? How do you discern, how do you balance out to determine what is persuasive for you? Well, the first question you have to ask is, am I a Christian? Is my ability, am I willing to discern things from a Christian viewpoint, from a biblical standard, rather than my feelings? That's the first question. The second question is, who seems to be living and telling the truth? And then, what kind of a record does the person have? Think about those things as you enter into the debate, because you will if you listen. Thanks for joining us. Become a partner. Get a copy of the book, Seduction of the Saints, How to Stay Pure in a World of Deception. $15 will put it in your hands. It's on the website, saveus.org. God bless and be in prayer.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.